Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Yud Zayin, and we're holding at the end of the fourth line from the top of the Amid onto the fifth line, Ki Amrita Kamei Dishmur. Vus meint is Ki Amrita Kamei Dishmur. If you go back to daf Tes Zayin Amid Beis, four lines from the bottom of the Amid, we had Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Rav Asi, Oivid Ki Chovim, Shekidish bizman hazeh, choyshishin lekidushin, shema me aseris hashvotim hu. Said Rav Yehuda Mervasi, something very novel. If you see a goy giving kidushin today, for instance, to a Jewish girl, don't say, it's ridiculous, it's a waste of time, it's not effective. No, choyshishin lekidushin, you've got to be concerned that maybe this is a valid marriage. Why? Maybe this goy is not a goy. Maybe he's a descendant of the Aseres Hashvatim who were taken into Golus by Sancheiriv a few years ago. So maybe it was effective after all.
We're not concerned with intermarriage. And
we are very concerned about intermarriage. So we're saying that any time you have such a situation, don't automatically go and poo-poo it. That's nothing a goy. No, perhaps it is a valid kiddushin, and if this young lady subsequently wants to remarry, you'd have to have a get from this goy, because maybe this goy is a Jew. And of course, the Gemara immediately asked yesterday, come on, give me a break. Even if agreed, there are aseres ashvatim among us, but they're only a small percentage among all the goyim that you have throughout the world. So any stam goy that comes from Ireland, or comes from Japan, or comes from who knows where, when he goes and gives kedushin, you have to worry about these from the Seres Shvatim. And the Gemara said, no, it's got to be dafka beduchto dekvi. Duchto dekvi means certain places where we know historically that Sancheiriv had placed Aseres Shvatim over there. I don't know whether the people are still there today, but at least they were there at one time. What are those places? And the Gemara gave us a list of a whole bunch of places. I'm not sure that we know today where those places are or were, but at least in the times of Chazal they did know. And therefore they say, somebody comes from a place called Krach Mushchi, or Chidki, or Dunkaya, one of those places, you got to be concerned that maybe the so-called Goy is really a Jew. Says the Gemara, Ki Amrita Kami Dishmur. Who is the Amrita? Rashi says, the same Rav Yehuda who was quoting Rav Asi, he came in front of Shmuel and he told him the halacha of Rav Asi. The Rav Asi said, anytime you have a goy from one of those places making a kiddushin, you got to be choshish that maybe he's taka Jew, and choshishin le kiddushin. So when I repeated this from the Shmuel, Omar Lee, he told me, no, I respectfully disagree with Rav Asi. Why? Because bincha haba min Yisraelis kari bincha. What is the concern? What are we talking about? We're talking about the goy may be descended from the Aseres Hashvatim. Okay, the Aseres Hashvatim, the Gemara assumes at the moment, means men folk. If these are men and they married a goyta, what's going to happen? The child that's going to come from that union, is he going to be Jewish? Is he going to be a goy? A Jew marries a goyta. Which child is going to be
a
goy. So therefore, whoever is there nowadays, says Shmuel, in any one of those places, he's a goy or descended from a goy. It could be that the first man in this equation was Jewish. But if he married a goyta in one of those places,
he's all wandered through all the generations.
And they're all goyim gemurim now for at least one or two or five or ten generations. So what's the problem? And that's what Shmuel is telling him. Bincha is darshening a pasuk, ki yaser, ki saser. Bincha abo min Yisrael is kari bincha. A son that comes from a Jewish lady. In other words, had there been a union between a goy and a Jewess, a young Jewish lady, then that child is in fact a Jew, as we know. However, if it's the other way around, if the man happens to be Jewish and the woman happens to be a goyta, she's a Gentile, then the child that's born to them is not called bincha, meaning a Jewish child, elbina. It means her child. And since the her is an oivedes kechavim, the child is a goy. And therefore, any one of the oved kechavim today that's Mekadosh Se'isha in one of those places, you have nothing to worry about, because they are all Goyim Gemurim. But the obvious question is, vo ikabonois. Who says that when Sancheiriv took the Aseret HaShvatim and banished them to these places, that we're only talking about men? There were obviously women among them as well. And therefore it's very, very possible that instead of, or in addition to talking about Gesundheit, a Jewish man marrying a non-Jewish lady, you can have the other way around, that you had a non-Jewish man marrying a Jewish lady. And if that's the case, you just got finished saying the bincha bo min ha-Yisraelis kari bincha. So maybe Rav Asi is correct after all. Maybe the goy that I see today going into the church or into the shul or in the street handing over kesef kiddushin to a young Jewish lady, maybe this oivikachov is not descended from a male Jew that married a female goiter. Maybe we're talking about that it was a male goy that married a female Jewess. Not now, 100 years ago, 300 years ago, in the times of Sancheiriv or shortly thereafter. And so therefore maybe this Oyvik Chacham today is in fact Jewish because he is the legacy, he's the progeny.
Matrilineal.
I'm sorry?
Matrilineal descent.
And therefore maybe he's Jewish after all. That's a very simple question. How can Shmuel say, nothing to worry about, if all the women that were married at that time were goyters and the children are all goyim? Obviously there were Jewish women too, and therefore weren't all of their children yidden, and maybe this Ayvik Chavim is descended from her. This is part of the kasha. Therefore I see clearly this Gemara that he's talking about, the Shema Mina, is not going in our Gemara, it's going on. There's a long Rashi that goes in other Gemaras about the fact that it says in one pasuk ki saser is bincha, in one pasuk it says ki yaser. So whether we're referring to a goy marrying a Jew marrying a goy, ayin chum. But the point is, says Ravina, that ben bincha habom in oiv kechavim, the son of your daughter, meaning if there's a Jewish daughter, rachmon litzlan, she went and married an oiv kechavim a goy, the ben, the son of that union of bincha, the Jewish girl, and the goy, kari bincha, that's your son, meaning it's a Jewish kid. And if that's the case, maybe Rav Asi is right, that oiv kechavim shekid yuzman is there, choy shekidushin, maybe he comes from the Aseret HaShvatim, not from the men's side of the Aseret HaShvatim, but from the women's side of the Aseret HaShvatim, and so therefore maybe he's Jewish after all. Ever the Gemara Gemiri, we have a Kabbalah, we have Masoira, the Bansa, the Hudara, that the women of that Doir, of that generation, it's Teruye, it's true. Now what does that mean, it's Teruye, it's true? So you go down about halfway down the Omid, a little bit past halfway down, says Rashi, it's Teruye, it's true. Nivka Rachmon, Nilikloid Zera, their wombs, as if they burst open, they broke open, not to be able to be collate, to absorb the zera of the husbands. V'nasu akorois, and they all became sterile, barren. It's true, says Rashi, Loshen Bikua, as if it burst open, split open. Kimo tilai yecharifi de mitzri ziki, or kimo tzirai de chiti. Anyway, that's how Rashi says that they all somehow broke open. The Rivan, which is quoted in some of the Rishonim by Meiri and others, says that they took a koisho ikrin, which means that they drank some sort of potion that caused them to become sterile, because they didn't want to produce children with the goyim. That's one pshat. Or another pshat that is given is that mitoirech haderech, because unfortunately they were refugees, they were schlepped out from their native land, from Eretz Yisrael, taken to all of these crazy places, and because of Teruch HaDerach, they became sterile, and became infertile, and they were not able to have children. Since we have that Kabbalah, that's why Shmuel says, I don't have to worry about the Jewish woman at that time, I have to worry about the Jewish men. Jewish men marry the goites. They produce goyim, so therefore, I respectfully disagree with Rav Asi. There was another version of the story, Kamrita Kam de Shmuel, when I, Rav Yehuda, repeated this word of Rav Asi in front of Shmuel. Amalisi told me, Luizozu Mishama Chasum, Uidikacham Gimurim, Shenema Vashem Bagodu, Kivonim Zorim Yolodu. The Gemara tells us something fantastic, very fascinating, that the Chazal at that time, the Sanhedrin at that time, they made a special takana, that because unfortunately the Aseret HaShvatim are now getting mixed among all the Umay Sa'ilam. We don't even know where they happen to be. Some say they're behind the river Sambatjoin. Now the question is, where is the river Sambatjoin? Anyway, since they are all mixed in among all the Goyim, all of the Aseres HaShvatim that at that time were banished from Eretz Yisrael, Nebuch by Sancheirev, unfortunately they now have a din of Goyim Gemurim, nothing to talk about. So even if you're talking about a situation where it was a Jewish girl that linked up with a Goyish man, normally we would say the children are Yidden, they made a Hayruah Shah at that time, they all have a din of Oyvdeik, Lechovim Gemurim, Lechol Divrei.
How can they do that?
How can the Akkad government at all?
They revoke their kedushin or something. This mm-hmm. is, we're talking about biology. If these are Jewish women and they have sons and daughters, those halachically are Jewish. How could Chazal goes around them that they're with the one?
That's why I told you this is going to be fantastic and fascinating. Yes, it's absolutely extraordinary.
What power do they? What source?
What source do they have? They have the source of being the keepers of the Torah, and it says in the pasuk Yehoshea b'Hashem begodu, because the Aseres HaShvatim were bogeid. Bogeid means they were traitors. Kibanim zorim yoladu, all of their children they were goyzer. That their children are all zorim. They're all estranged from HaKadosh Baruch Hu forever and ever, no longer chelik with Klal Yisrael. This, however, most of the Sforim say, most of the Rishonim say, this was only a one generational thing. This never ever happened in the future. Other Rishonim are mafakbek and said, well, perhaps in other times also one could use this rule and say, if in this happens, Abba Lamaisa, that has never happened since then. It's only that one time during the Aseres HaShvatim time that all of the children, all the progeny of any of those mixed marriages, they all had a status of Goyim Gemurim, even if we were talking about Bamais. And that's why Shmuel said, Ravasi theoretically is correct, but practically is not, because of that takana that they made at that time. Says nothing more about it. We referred yesterday, as you recall, how did we get into this whole Inyan about Goyim and Yidden and all the rest? All we started off with that the three great scholars, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Lozman ben Azariah, and Rabbi Akiva, went to visit Rabbi Doisim and Horkenes because of the famous issue of the Tzoras Habas. And then Rabbi Doisim says, you really shouldn't come to me, you should go to my brother Rabbi Yonason, because he is the one that's saying that Tzoras Habas is mutter like Beis Shammai. But I can tell you in the name of Chagai that Chagai Anovi said, no, that Allah is taka like Beis Hillel, and Tzoras Habas is awesome. I don't know if Beis Hillel was around at that time, but he said that Tzoras Habas is in fact awesome. And he added two more halachas. Amen Amoyev Ma'asr Ma'asr Oni B'Shvias, and Mekablam Gerim Min HaKarduyim U'Min HaTarmudim. You can go and take Gerim from there because they are Goyim Gemurim, these are not Yisrael. And then we had a discussion whether that in fact is the case. Does everybody agree with that? If you remember, we had at the bottom of the Yomad, Rabbi Yochanan said, no, Ein Mekablam Gerim Min HaTarmudim, because in fact there are Jews that are mixed in among the general population. So when they come to the Bez and say, we want to become Jews, they are already Jews. And the problem is that many of them may be Mamzerim because they married, intermarried with Goyim. And our Gemara holds, like we had in the Gemara yesterday and the Gemara today, that if you have an Eved or Oiv Gechom Habo Albas Yisrael, the children are Jewish and they are Jewish Mamzerim. We don't paskin that way, but that's how our Gemara goes with that flow, with that approach, that they are Mamzerim. So now, based on that, Talmud, according to the first Rabbi Yochanan, remember we said, Amiroi Ninu Aliv Rabbi Yochanan Machloikis Talmudim. But according to the first Rabbi Yochanan on the Omer Aleph, Ein Mekablam Gemer Atamudim, because they are only going to cause potential Mamzeris. So Gemara says now, Yosef Rav Yosef, Achoyed Rav Kahana, Rav Yosef was sitting back of Kahana, Rav Yosef Kahana, Kamed Rav Yehuda, Rav Yosef Kahama, Asidim Yisrael, the Avdi Yoimatova, Ki Charve Talmud. When Talmud will eventually be destroyed, it's going to be Ashtikul Yontif. In which respect is going to be Ashtikul Yontif? That from now on, we don't have to worry about people marrying people from Talmud, or worrying about Batedinim that are being Magaya people from Talmud, because Talmud is very problematic. See Rashi Yoimatova, right after Rashi, which I said before, Yoimatova, Mishum Demam Zeirim Hei. many of them, most of them, all of them, they're mamzerim, umitamim bi Yisrael, they get mixed in with Klai Yisrael, and they're causing, unfortunately, a lot of havoc. There are a lot of Jewish people that were from beautiful yichas, they married these Talmudim, especially if they were gerim, figuring, oh, there was a gerim. He was converted by the Badats of the Eid of Haredis, and he must be really, really firm and sincere, and he's gevaldik v'havta misager, without realizing that Nebuchadnezzar may have a lot of mamzer blood in him, and so therefore, when Talmud is destroyed, we will no longer have that issue. Right tomorrow, v'acharev, the history books have told us that Talmud is already destroyed a couple of hundred years ago. What are you telling me that Talmud will be destroyed in Yom Tova? If tomorrow he Talmud. It wasn't Talmud, it was Talmud. Talmud was not destroyed. But Talmud is still around. That's the first test. Ravashi Yama, no. Hainu Talmud. These two names are interchangeable. It's the same place. But didn't I hear that Talmud was already destroyed years ago? Ichpuli hu de machpel. Chorem mihaigisa oisem mihaigisa. Chorem mihaigisa oisem mihaigisa. What the Gemara is saying is that the town or the city of Talmud was on a very large area, very large region, and each time when we hear that it became Chorev, only half of the city became Chorev. What happened is that all the people that were survivors, they all fled to the other side, they went and rebuilt themselves, and eventually then they came back and they repopulated the other side, and then unfortunately if the enemies would come and destroy the other side, then they'd all move to the other side. In other words, they kept them moving back and forth as needed, and therefore even though you heard the Talmud was destroyed, only half it was destroyed and the other half was not, and therefore they were able to go and replenish themselves over time. If you look at the Rashi, Dichpule Ichpul, Kishachorva Mikan, Nichpula the Nivnes Mikan. When it got Chor from one side, Nichpula means the Russian, it doubled over, doubled up. In other words, the refugees around there, they made it pretty, pretty tight. It's now double, but they rebuilt it on that side. And then, once again, if Chas Hashem, there was an attack on the other side, so then they would move to the other side, so they kept on moving back and forth, and therefore they were never totally destroyed after all. Yaz Rabban Nuna Kamidi Ula, the Kohavi Bishmaita. Omer Magavra Umagavra. What's Maitis? So Rabban Nuna is sitting in front of Ula. The Kohavi, Rashi says, Kohavi means Maksha. He was asking good Akashas. And he was no lightweight. He was heavy. He was a heavyweight. He's asking stark akashas, kashas like a Rebbe Kiva, I guess akashas, stark. Omar. So now Ula said to Rabban Nuna, a little bit, if you will, of a, what do they call it in English, a backhanded compliment. He says, Magavra, Magavra. This is a real Gavra. What a Gavra, Gavra. It's just a shame, Ilav de Harpanya Mosse. It's a shame that you come from Harpanya. What's such a shame? Says Rashi, she'enam miyuchasim. The people in Harpanya were not miyuchas. In other words, it was also a shaila about the yichus. Maybe some mamzer blood somehow got mixed in over there. So, halavai, if you would be a pure progeny or pure pedigree, then that would be great. But unfortunately, he had Yaka Gavarabba, no question about it. But unfortunately, you come from Harpanya. So, Rav Amnuna heard this in Ichsif. He was embarrassed. First he gives me a compliment. Oh, Gavra, Gavra, very good. And I talk a learn Gishmak. And then he says, oh, Yichus and Ishus are Yitz. So Ichsif, he was embarrassed.
Who's speaking, Rav Amnuna or Ula? Who's speaking here?
It depends at what point in time. Yeah. There's a dialogue.
Yeah.
Somebody's saying and then somebody's responding.
Who's giving the backhand the compliment?
Oh, okay. Ula was giving the compliment to Rav Amnuna.
Okay, thank you, okay.
No problem. And Rav Amnuna was the one that was Ichsif. He was the one that unfortunately was Nebuch embarrassed.
Can you translate Ichsif also to be angry?
If you want to, you can, but the way normally people translate it means ashamed. That he was embarrassed, ashamed, humiliated in that family. Amalei, so then Ula realized, you know, he intended going and saying something nice, but it didn't turn out so well. So Amalei, he told him, Kef Gugalta Mehechi Yavis, to whom do you pay your taxes? Yes, of course, this means a poll tax, a head tax. Who do you pay the taxes to? Omle the Pumnahara. I pay it to Pumnahara. Pumnahara was a neighboring town of Harpanya. Maybe they were twin cities, like Minneapolis, St. Paul, or Dallas, Fort Worth, or something like that. But the point is, they were very close together. And who did he pay the taxes to? Not to Harpanya, to Pumnahara. Omle, oy, if that's the case, him came to Pumnahara, and then you're a distinguished citizen from Pumnahara, where they have Chosh of Yin. I'm sorry, I didn't realize. So he tried to get out of that one, that he's really not a Harpania citizen, he's really a Pumnahar citizen. To put that prominently on the resume, so that if people ask for Shiduchim, they'll know he's a Pumnahara Nikah and not a Harpania. If you remember, we had Pumnahari yesterday in Rashi, in the Gemara, about 10 lines from the end of the Rashis yesterday. There we had, instead of Harpania, we had Humnaya l'Pumnahar. Humnaya was full of Yevonim, full of Greeks. So Pumnahara was a Jewish town, a Jewish city, and therefore once he told them, I pay poll taxes, head taxes to Pumnahara, then you're fine, then the yichus is great. Break the Gemara, my Harpania, what's the definition of Harpania? It's a very strange name, Harpania. Where did that name come from? It says, the Gemara is really a contraction of a couple of words. Amr Abzeira, Har, Shehakoil, Poinim Bay. What does that mean? So Rashi says, Kol hapsulim she'ein moitzim isha. You have all of these people that are not miyuchasim, that their lineage is somewhat tainted. Poinim v'holchim sham. They would all go to Harpania because even they would find matzim minis minai, they would find other people of similar backgrounds who are also a little bit tainted or blemished records or a legacy or a history or whatever. Genealogy. That was the place. That was the mokum har. Harpania, Har, the mountain, Shakol Poinim Bay, that everybody would turn to if they needed a shidduch and if they were of shvach yichus. The Masis Tan in the Brice, it says very similarly, Koshein Makir Mishpachta Veshivta, anybody that doesn't have clear records of his mishpacha and his shevet, Nifna Vesham would go there, turn to that town, because I have no records left. Unfortunately, he was a refugee, he ran away, his parents passed away and he was a yosim, so he has no records, so he would go there to go and find a shidduch. This place, Harpania, is lower than She'ol. She'ol means Gehenim. What does it mean that it's lower? Shenema, it says in the Pasuk, V'yad She'ol Eftem Mimoves Egolim. The Kodesh Baruch Hu says that if even those that Rachman Litzlan that go down into Gehenim, eventually I will go and be pointed them, I will extract them from She'ol, from Gehenim, and Mimoves Egolim, from this permanent death, so to speak, and being Gehenim Egolim, I will redeem them. V'ilu psoldidhu leslu takanta. If Sechas Hashem, someone happens to be a mamzer, you can stand on your head, there's no way to go in Misakin, you can't go, it's irremediable. What's the...
irreparable.
Yeah, true. What's the pasuk that we had? Ma'uvis le'yuchal iskoin v'chisorn v'chesron le'yuchal imonais. There's nothing you can go and do anymore for a person who's a mamzer. So in that respect, says Rashi, it's deeper than Sha'al. Sha'al is a remedy. Eventually, after 533 years, a person who's been in Ganem, he's now Nebuch black to the Pope, but eventually he'll be taken out. But a mamzer blaft, a mamzer blaft, a mamzer.
Isn't there a way to have a shibcha, mamzer marries a shibcha?
And what happens then?
And then she's mishuchreres.
And what happens then?
And so when she...
Exactly right. You can fix the future family.
Right.
He remains a mamzer.
The man, the woman is what the continent is.
Exactly. Okay, but Mitchell, there's other sugis in other places, but it's like Brother Shai says, you can talk about trying to be misak of the children, but for the...
No, Rabbi,
you
himself,
say that...
yes, was
that the hidden, the people, the mamzerim who are not known, that that's what says, the Zerakin HaMayim Tahorim, that eventually that Eliyahu will come and he'll retire, the hidden...
Okay, and that's a show. Yeah, hopefully we don't have too many of those, and hopefully Eliyahu will come very, very soon. Anyway, the ilipsul didu leslu takanta. In that respect, it means that it's lower than yam. Now the Gemara tells us psuli de harpani mishum psuli de mishoin or psuli de mishoin mishum psuli de tarmud psuli de tarmud mishum avdei shleima. What is all that? All this about? So you remember we had tarmud and avdei shleima already yesterday. If you go back to yesterday's Gemara, the Gemara said we tarmud my time aloy. It's five lines from the top of the test Zion Amud base. Five lines from the top.
Mm-hmm.
The end of the line is Mi Tarmud, my time alloy. Why can you not accept Gerim from Talmud according to the Rav Yochanan's Talmud on the Amud Aleph? So it was a machloikis, believe by Rav Yochanan, Rav Sav Yochanan, Mishum Avdi Shloim, Vachanan, Mishum Nerech Shloim. You recall Rashi explained by Avdi Shloim on the third line that the Avodim, the slaves of Shloim, they opened up the shutters of the palace and they saw all around them these beautiful homes that belonged to Jewish people and they said, oh, I'd like to be wealthy. The best way of being wealthy is if I can go and marry some of the Jewish women, the Jewish daughters. I'm a mile, I'm going to get a nice dowry, and I'm going to yarshin, and I'm going to be a wealthy guy. So unfortunately, Avdi Shloimei went and married and lived with many of these Jewish girls, and therefore many of these children, unfortunately, are Jewish, and according to our Gemara, they are also mamzerim. Like the Gemara says two lines later, Oy v'kachom mi'eved aboh bas Yisrael avlad is a mamzer. So this all happened in Tarnwood. That's what the Gemara said, right? Mitam in my time alive, because of the Avdi Shloimei. It was another reason, Benoit Yerushalayim, but our Gemara goes here with the Avdi Shloimei. So now the source of many of these people that had tainted lineage was from Tarmut. From Tarmut, Agamar says, many of them moved out of Tarmut. Apparently, the properties got too expensive, so they moved to Mishon. And now, from Mishon, they moved further on to Harpanya. So Agamar is telling us is, how do we have the Psuli Harpanya Bisman Hazeh in the times of the Gemara?
Migration from Tarmut.
We had the migration that started off from Tarmut, that went to Mishon, that went to Harpanya. So that's how the Gemara reads. Psuli Harpanya Mishon, Psuli the Mishon, they came from Mishon, Psuli the Mishon came from Tarmut, and Psuli the Tarmut was because of Avdishleimer. Find the Amri Inchi, that's why people have the expression. Kaba Rabba Vekaba Zutta. A kav, of course, is a measure, a measurement. And rabba means big, but kavazuta means small. Now, how can you have a kav which is both big and small? So Rashi says these are used by people, businessmen, storekeepers, etc., who unfortunately corrupt. What they do is they buy and sell using a kav, but they're two different sizes of kav. When they're buying, they go and buy in the larger kav, so that they get a larger quantity for the dollar. When they sell in the smaller kav. And so therefore, they now give less quantity when they're selling. So Rashi calls them me'uvsim. Me'uvsim means that these are corrupt individuals, but more particularly that these two kav and these two measures are being used in a corrupt fashion. So what happens? These two measures, megander Rashi says are miskalgel, they roll down, the ozel, and they go down to Sheol, to what Rashi said before was Gehenim. Umi Sheol the Tarmud, and then they roll on to Tarmud. Umi Tarmud Lameshan to Meshan. Umi Meshan Larpanya. So therefore there's a progression. It's all on a roll, going from one place to the other place. And therefore, what the Gemara is trying to emphasize is that unfortunately, the Mamzerim spread from neighborhood to neighborhood, from city to city, from location to location, and they're all over now in Tarmud and in Meshan and Harpanya, like the Gemara said before. If you want to look at the last two Rashi's here right before the new Perek, Kaba Rabba Vekaba Zutazok Rashi, Eifek Dolav Eifek Tana, these are two measures, Shneim Mu'ufsim, Mu'ufsim means that they are corrupted, Kalaymar, Kol Hapsulim Miskalglin V'yordin, all of them go and roll down, L'sha'ol, U'mish'ol L'tarmud, Kalaymar Sha'ol Gevoyim L'tarmud, Sha'ol is higher. We said before that Sha'ol is higher because Sha'ol is no way of, I'm sorry, Sha'ol, the Kodesh Baruch Hu has the Takana eventually to take people out of Sha'ol, out of the Gehenim, but Talmud is lower because there's no Takana for these Mamzerim. So Sha'ol is going to be Talmud. Umiskalgum is Sha'ol the Talmud, Eu v'tayim v'kirliel, Tilior the Gehenim ikka Takantum, so the two ain't Tahara. So then they went down to Talmud. And then from Talmud they went further down to Meshan. From Meshan they went to Harpanya. So it keeps on progressing from place to place, and the Mamzerim Nebuchar spreading, and it's terrible. That's how Rashi learns that Sheol is referring to the Gehenim. Tosis, by the way, learns that the word Sheol over here is a reference to Bavel. You see the last Tosis, Mishaol the Talmud, Sheol koire to Bavel. Why? Lefisha tchila golu kulam leBavel, kshedim upsulam. When Chai Yisrael unfortunately was banished and expelled from Eretz Yisrael, everybody was expelled. So among them, kshedim upsulam. When they got to Babel, all the bad guys, all the psulim, they all went to Tarmut. Eventually, when Ezra left Babel back to Eretz Yisrael at the times of the rebuilding of the Bayis, that's the Bayis Hasheni, then he said, "Psulim, you stay back. We don't need any of you guys." And he went and took all the Kshayim, etc., etc. So anyway, so therefore, according to Rashi, and according to Tosis disagrees with Rashi. Rashi said that Sheol is referring to the Gehenim, and therefore when it says that Talmud is amuka, that it is deeper than Sheol, it means more on a spiritual sense, because Gehenim is not something that we can point with a finger to, and it's a spiritual Sheol. This is deeper than that, so what does that mean? Like Gemara said, this has a takana, this doesn't have a takana. According to Tosis, Sheol is actually the name of a place. It's Babel. Why is Babel called Sheol? Just like Sheol is deep down below, whatever. But it was also lowlands because it was in a valley, and that's why their ground is always fertile, it's always moist, and you always have the snows and the rivers and the rain going down the mountain tops, down the mountain sides, all the way down to the bottom. So it was lowlands. Okay, on to the Gemara, new parakad l'chamesh esrei nashim. Keitzer eishes achshalay bailani. We're going back to the first Mishnah in our Masechta, where we enumerated all of the 15 arroyos, and the 14th out of the 15 was the eishes achshalay hoya ba'olam. And that's also considered to be, quote-unquote, an erva. Not really an erva, but for our purposes it has the status of an erva. Why? Because it said in the pasuk ki yeshu achim yachdov, it's got to be that the two brothers live together. And who meis achad mehem lo yisir eiser meis chutz liyizar yivam yavaleh. So the din of yibam is only if the two brothers live together at the same time, contemporaneously.
What are you saying? It's not an
erva. It's not an erva because an eishes achshalay bailamai. If you have, for instance, two brothers, Reuven and Shimon. And Reuven's daughter marries Shimon. Shimon passes away. Then that daughter goes back to Reuven. Is Reuven allowed to marry his daughter?
No.
No. If he would, it would be incestuous. Right. You have over here two brothers. What happens if the two brothers? What is the case of the brothers? We start off with that you have Reuven has a daughter, and that daughter married, for instance, Shimon. Very, very successful marriage with Shimon, because everything was going great. And now Shimon is married not only to Reuven's daughter, he's also married to a tzar, meaning to another woman. Fine. After Shimon went and married Reuven's daughter,
another baby was born.
Another baby was born. The question is, the baby is born now, or the question is, baby not born yet. We have now, besides Reuven and Shimon, we also have Levi, who is alive and kicking. Reuven, Shimon, and Levi all live together at the same time. So Reuven's daughter married Shimon. Shimon, unfortunately, passed away. Now leaving over Mrs. Shimon, who is Reuven's daughter, as well as a tzar. So what happens? We first offer them to Reuven and say, Reuven, can you go marry them? Can you marry the tzar? That's a tzar. There's no question about it. Good. So Shimon is, Reuven can't do it. Shimon passed away. So Levi says, I'm going to go and be Miyabim. He could go be Miyabim either one.
Right.
Either the...
He's the uncle for him.
Exactly. Right. But instead what he decides to do, he's going to go marry the... Sorry.
Okay.
Guess what happens in the meantime? Now Yehuda is born. Now Yehuda, did he ever know Reuven?
No.
Did he even know Shimon? Also not. But at least he knows Levi. So what happens now when Levi passes away? And he leaves over now the tzara of the original
Mrs. Shimon.
The Mrs. Shimon, as well as his own tzara, because that was the Mrs. Levi. So now we go to Yehuda. Can Yehuda go and marry them? So the answer is
Machlokas
Reb Shimon and the Rabbanim. But let's assume in a situation where everybody would agree that it would be prohibited. So even though Yehuda has absolutely no incestuous relationship or relation to either the former Mrs. Shimon or to the former Mrs. Levi, because not related to them, it's not his sister, it's not his cousin, it's not his uncle, not his aunt, not his brother-in-law, not his mother-in-law, Gunish, but he's not allowed to go and be Miyabim anyway because he was an Eishes Ach Shehi Boilam. Now, he does get the status of an Eishes Ach Sheyesh Labanim, but that's the halachic status. It's not that there is a blood relationship. So that's what I mean to say, that an Eishes Ach Shehi Boilam, as opposed to all the others, there's no blood relationship at all. The reason why he's answered is because of the fact that he was not there at the same time together with his other. Yeah. Yeah, it's good. Fine. So now says the Mishnah. Oh, and the Mishnah tells us the case.
What
yes, Rabbi.
Reuven's wife.
Reuven's wife.
We didn't mention Reuven's wife here. Why?
The reason why is Reuven's wife was... Reuven,
he had a bus, first of all, he had a bus.
Reuven's wife is a lovely, lovely lady, and she says Tillum three times a day, the entire Tillum, from beginning to end. Our only concern was Reuven's daughter, who married to Shimon. And now, the reason why Shimon married her is because she was just like her mother, also Tzedekis. And now, he married his niece, and then unfortunately Shimon passed away. So Reuven is still alive, Baruch Hashem, and he's living with his wife. This 120, Baruch Hashem, they already have 85 Eniklach from other children. It's not part of the equation, exactly.
He has, in fact, he has a bas, he has children. He has, he's not, he, there's no Yibam Chiyuv.
So Rabbi and Barry adds to the entire beautiful picture over here that because Reuven had a daughter that married Shimon, apparently Reuven was fertile, he had children, and therefore, if and when he were to pass away, there would never be a din of Yibam because of the fact that it's an Achshiyesh Leibam, and he has children, Baruch Hashem. Only problem was that Shimon, who was a very nice guy, everybody loved Shimon, unfortunately passed away without any children. Oh, now we got problems. Yibam and Tzaris and Erva and that was the Shalem. Good. Anyway, so getting back to our Mishnah. Ketzed Eish is actually by Lama. Shnei Achim. Umeis Achim Man. The two brothers. One of them passed away. Benodin Achim. Now a third brother was born. V'yachakach Yibam Hasheni Es Eishes Achiv. The Sheni meaning the second of the brothers. Let's talk about Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. We had Reuven. We had Shimon. We had Levi. So now Reuven, let's start again. Shnei Achim, Umeis Achim Hem, Reuven passed away. And the Noidlehen Achim, then after that, Levi was born. The third brother. Originally there were two brothers, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven passed away, Nebuch. And then Levi was born subsequently. V'yachach Yibem Hasheni Es Eishes Achiv. Then Yibam Hasheni, this is Shimon, went and he was Meyabim Eishes Achiv, Reuven's wife. Here we do have Rabbi Reuven's wife, because unfortunately Reuven passed away without any children. Good. So now Shimon is married to the former. I'm sorry? Shimon is now married to the former Mrs. Reuven. And Nebuch Umeis. And now Shimon Nebuch passed away. So now this young lady was married to Reuven. Her husband passed away. Married to Shimon. Again, her husband passed away. What happens now? She wants to go and be misyabim to Levi. Levi was only born subsequently. That's Menoyle Lehenach. So Rishoyna Yoytze Mishim Eishes Achashloy Bay Lamai. Rishoyna meaning the woman that was originally married to Reuven. That's why she's Rishoyna, married to the first son. She is not going to be able to go and be Nisyabim through Levi. Why not? Because Reuven and Levi were not contemporaneous, and even though Shimon and Levi were contemporaneous, but she still has her status of being the former Mrs. Reuven besides being Mrs. Shimon. This is where the Machloikis gets in there between Reb Shimon and Rabban. But we don't have to focus on that now because we don't have to add more complications. But the point is that this young lady, this Rishoyna, cannot be Nisyabim through Levi because Levi never knew Reuven and she was an Eishes Reuven at some time in the past. Is therefore the Rishoyna Yoytze Mishim Eishes Achshloi Bar Lamai. She says to Levi, I'd love to be Nisyabim through you. Everybody says you're a wonderful young man. You have a reputation that you're Shimcha Hoylech Me Soifa Oylem Vad Soifa, like Rabbi Kiva, that you're a great guy. But I cannot, because since I didn't live contemporaneously with Reuven, Eishes Achshloi Bar Lamai, can't marry. Vashnia. Shnia means now the second wife of Shimon, who is not involved in all of this other than that she is the Tzara of the former Mrs. Reuven, who became Mrs. Shimon, that Shnia is Mishum Tzarasa. She's also part of from Yimachalit, and that's what we learned in the first Mishnah, the Chamesh Esrei Noshim, including the Eishes Achshloi Bar Lamai, that it patis Tzarasim, the Tzarasim Tzarasim Atzai Fadim. Now, what would have happened if instead of being Meyabim her, if Shimon would have given her Maimer? Well, we've had Maimer before. Maimer, as you recall, means he was not Meyabim through Bia, but rather he gave Kesef Kiddushin. And Rashi says his intention was eventually to be Koinus. In other words, not unlike a normal marriage in the good old days in the times of the Talmud, where they made an Erusin today and made an Nisuin months later, up to a year later. Here too, the Yavam had intended, initially gave her a ring, and therefore they're now very, very happy with one another, and they are now getting ready for the big chasana, for the Bia. And guess what happened? Before he had a chance, Nebuch, he passed away. So what happened? Yes?
Did you just say someone's not muting their mic?
Okay, somebody should kindly mute their mic. David, if you know anybody like that, please, if you can ask them, please, to mute their mics, it would be appreciated.
Does Mimer take away the Zika? Only
no, it does not.
Okay.
There's no mic on the on the call.
Right. No, no, Michael is on the call. That's correct. But there is somebody's website or not or connection.
The device is static.
So, on behalf of one and all, David Fishman, we are delighted that you're joining the shir. If you could kindly turn off and mute yourself, so that would remove the static.
Sorry for interrupting. I thought I was muted.
No. Okay. We hear you loud and clear. So apparently you are not. Anyway, we still hear it. So if you could push some sort of button, that would be great.
So he did Mimer, he didn't Kones, former Ashes Ravain.
Right.
And now Levi's born post Mimer, but before the consummation of the Yibum.
Umeis, and now unfortunately,
Shimon dies.
Shimon passes away. Now what happens is, falls to Levi, Shniachai Letzis, Voloi Misyabemis. The Rishoina, the former Mrs. Reuven, who married Mrs. Shimon, didn't become a full-fledged Mrs. Shimon with a capital M. David, we still hear the static. Ah, now it went off. Okay, congratulations. No more static.
So she's not Pachter like the first Mishnah now.
I'm going from static to the case of the Mishnah, so you have to give me a time.
You're back, David. Welcome back.
The static is back again. Ah, now it's off again. So getting back to our Mishnah. What happened over here? Instead of Shimon being Miyabim, the former Ashes Reuven, he only gave Maimer to the former Ashes Reuven, which means that she was only a shtikla wife, not a full wife. Rashi says she's only a wife midrabban, not min hatoyer. Therefore, it will not change her status vis-a-vis Levi, because as far as Levi is concerned, I don't really care that she was married or not married to Shimon. My issue is that she was at one time the Ashes Reuven, which was the Ashes actually Abayim. So that makes a difference vis-a-vis her. But it does make a difference vis-a-vis the Tzara. Is the Tzara a Tzaras, Ashes actually Abayim? 50%. Only to the extent of the Maim. But there was no Yibam. Since there was no Yibam, she's not a Tzara min HaTorah. She's a Tzara midrabana. Since she's a Tzara midrabana, Chayletzes Buloim Misyadam. Is good? Yotzefrin, Zorkimar, Omer of Nachman. Now, for the next few lines, the Gemara is going to deal with the text of the Mishnah as opposed to the halach of the Mishnah. We started on the fourth line that Reuven never passed away. Then Shimon married the Ashes Reuven, and now Shimon passed away, and he left over two wives, a Rishoina and a Shnia. So in the fourth line of the Mishnah, we said Harishoina. We defined Rishoina meaning as the former Mrs. Reuven, who remarried and became Mrs. Shimon. That Rishoina yoyte Mishem Eishrach Lebelame, which makes a lot of sense. The Shnia, which is the Tzara, is Tzarasa. However, there are other Mishnayas and other Gemaras where they switched it around. Not Harishoina yoyte, but HaShnia yoyte Mishem Eishrach. And instead of HaShnia Mishem Tzarasa, Harishoina. Is Omer of Nachman mandatory Rishoina like our Mishnah leMishtabish? No mistake, it's done correctly. And mandatory Shnia also leMishtabish, it's also correct. How? Mandatory Rishoina says Imara leMishtabish, my Rishoina means Rishoina leFina. This is the first lady that already fell once. We said fell, we mean that she had a Zika and she fell to Yibam already one time previously when Reuven passed away. That's the definition of Rishoina. My Rishoina, Rishoina leFina. Or mandatory Shnia. Also, leMishtabish, because my Shnia, Shnia leNisuin. That what means Shnia leNisuin? That she was, that this lady, the Reuven's former wife, and Reuven passed away, she now went and married now a second husband, that he was already married from before. Let's see Rashi in the second line. Shnia leNisuin. Lenisuin shall sheni shehu hayonosui kvar ho acheres kishenof zois lefonav. It's talking about a situation where Shimon had already been married before to the original Mrs. Shimon, and only subsequently Nebuch Reuven passed away, and now Shimon went and was miyabein the former Mrs. Reuven. So in such a situation, says our Gemara, so who is the Rishoina and who is the Shnia? Since Shimon married the Yevama, Reuven's wife, only second after he had married his own wife, so that's why she is called the Shnia. Freit Gemara, why would we go and call her the Shnia? Why do we have to say a situation where Shimon was previously married and now he married and was miyabim the Eishes Reuven. Just as likely that he first married the Eishes Reuven, who was miyabim, and then he married the Mrs. Shimon, the second lady. Why would that make sense to go and step to go and designate the Mrs. Reuven as the Shliach? Just as likely 50-50 that she was the Rishonah. What does that mean, Shnia Benisuin? That she is now married the second time. Not that she's the second wife to Shimon, but that Nebuch, she's now married for the second time. She was previously married to Reuven, and now that Reuven passed away, she had to remarry, and she married Shimon. Oh, this is the second marriage for her. That's the definition of the word Shnia as it appears in our Mishnah.
Actually, though, it's not really two marriages. She's actually still married to the original brother. It just it continues through Yibum. It's not a second Nisuin, really.
When she's married to Shimon, she's still married to Reuven?
No, when she married Reuven and Reuven died, yeah. That Nisuin persists
until
Shimon
marries a Miyabim her.
Right.
So and now it's Miyabim her, she's still married to Reuven?
No, but the Nisuin is the same. I'm not saying the person, I'm not the Gavra. I'm talking about the Nisuin.
Look at Rashi, fourth line from the top, fifth line. She was married twice. Achas Abash was first Mrs. Reuven. Now she's married to Liyom.
I'm just protesting that it's really not a second Nisuin. It's, as it were, in my imagination, it's a...
You keep on always saying that she's a Isha L'Choldova. She's a full-fledged Mrs. Shimon for all purposes. Right, she wants to get divorced.
She needs a get.
Not a chalitza. Right. So, the old marriage is...
Second.
She's now married in second. So this is a second marriage for her.
Right.
Anyway, that's why she's Kushniya. So now, Baruch Hashem, whether you write Shniya in the Mishnah, or write Rishon in the Mishnah, they both work. Now let's get down to Halacha now. I know in Parshas Achrimois Kedoshim, all of the Haroyas are written out and enumerated in great detail, and now they're going to make Isho Vita and Achoisai and all the wonderful things. But don't say anything there about Eishes Achrei Balami. What's the problem? Why can't you go and have a Yim Eishes Achrei Balami? Omri Vira Merav, Omri Krat, and the Posse. Ki Yeshu Achim Yachtov, Shehoisa Lehem Yeshiva Achas Boim. It's got to be that they live together at the same time. If Levi is only born later, nisht. Then the Gemara dashes the word yachtov miuchod menachla, prati echov min ha'em. What means miuchod menachla? So Rashi says 3-4 lines into the narrow line. So reuyin lirish ze as ze, that if chas v'shalom one of them were to pass away, brothers yarshin from one another. But that's only achim min ho'av, not achim min ho'ev. Hilchos Yerusha don't apply to maternal relationships, only to paternal relationships. Ah, but there's one obvious question, and that is, we're darshening yachdov to tell us achim min ho'av and not min ho'em. After all, we just use yachdov to tell us the din of eishes achshalei abaylamai. Ki yeshvu achim yachdov, that they had to have yeshiva. If you'd be so kind, Rav Simcha, before you take a seat, please close the door. Anyway, so the Gemara is telling us that Shahisalhem Yeshiva Achas Boilam, so probably Ashley Bailamai, so the Khayyam are using the yachtov twice. One yachtov to go and tell you Yeshiva Achas Boilam, and the second yachtov tells it's gotta be Achim Min Ha'av and not Achim Min Ha'aim. So the Mefarshim asked the Kasha, and they say that the initial Rai is not from the yachtov, but from the Yeshvu Achim. It could have said, Ki Yiyu Achim Yachtov. Why does it say Yeshvu Achim Yachtov? So that's going to be Yeshiva Achas Boilam. So the Yachtov is superfluous, and the Yachtov comes to tell you the din of Achim and Av and not Achim and Av. Rabba Omar Achim and Av, Yalef Achva Achim and Yaakov. I have a different mokar for Achva, for Achim and Av. I learned it from Bnei Yaakov. Malalon mina av, v'le mina ein, avka mina av, v'le mina ein. Here it's in the Pasuk Yeshvu Achim Yachtov. And by the Bnei Yaakov it says in the Pasuk, Shneim Oser Achim Anachnu, Bnei Avinu. So it uses the expression Achim. So I learned Achim from Achim. Just like that Achim by the Bnei Yaakov, there were four different mothers, but one father, and they're called Achim. Here too, we go after the Achim and Av, and not mina ein. Why do we learn from the parasha of Erva? What does it say in the pasuk? Rashi quotes from Parshas Achrimois, Ervas Eishes Ochicha Loisegale, and that Ochicha, the Gemara Darshan says Bein Mina Av uBein Mina Ein. Doesn't have to be dafka from the same brother, can be from the same father, can be from the same mother. So Eibazoi learned from Achrimois that Achim can be either paternal or maternal. Says the Mara, donen achim yachim, donen achim yochicha. Here it says achim, ki yeshvu achim yachtav. By Bnei Yaakov it says shnei maser achim. Or by Arois it says eras eishes ochicha. Freitim, come on. My nafkim mina, Atan Rabbi Shmuel, the famous Tan Rabbi Shmuel, which is swore a half dozen times in Shas or more. Vishava koin, voa koin, zui, shiva, zui, bia, they have the same din. Shiva and bia are totally different words. But they have the same connotation that the koin is coming or returning. So in Bazoi, same thing over here too. Achicha, achim. If you have nothing else to go and do the tamid to, it's not even close. Therefore, if you have a choice between achim and achim, or achim and achicha, you'd rather learn achim from achim. If you have no choice whatsoever, like shavaka uva, I have no other limudim, so then you learn even zui shiva zui bim. Freitimar v'leifa leilith achva achva miloit. What does it say by light? Ki anoshim achim anochnu. Here you're talking about Avram Avinu together with light. Why don't you say that the din of yibam, says Rashi, applies to ants? Ants, A-U-N-T, aunts. That if an uncle passes away, leaving over an aunt, maybe the nephew should go and be miyabim the aunt. Because Loit, as you know, was a nephew of Avram Avinu. How was Loit a nephew of Avram Avinu? Because he was a son of Haran. As we all know, Avram had two brothers. They were all three sons of Terach. And one was Avram, one was Nachar, one was Haran. Haran had two daughters, Milka and Yiska, Yiska and Milka, Yiska being Sarimenu, but he also had one son. And that son was Loit. Aha. So therefore, if Avram would have been married to whoever, Mrs. Avram, Lavdav Kesara, and then Nebuch, that Mrs. Avram passed away, maybe there would be a mitzvah for Loit to go and be miyavim, because he said, Anoshim achim anochnu. So that's how we should learn achim achim. So to mustabim in the Yaakov havelamela mishum demufni. I'd rather learn it from Yaakov, because there the word achim is totally superfluous. Why is it totally superfluous by Yaakov? Because there's a lengthy pasuk over there, and the word achim is unnecessary. V'shteitan in pasuk. Rashi, I think, quotes the pasuk, but if not, then we'll have to try to remember on our own.
Right, yeah.
So, you want to bring a chumash? That's good. Shneim oser achim anachnu avod b'nei avinu. Bereishis mem beis.
Here it is.
Oh, you have it.
Yomer shneim oser avadecha achim anachnu b'nei ish echad v'eretz kanaan.
Okay, so before you continue on, can you repeat what you said so far?
Yomer shneim oser avadecha
12
achim anachnu.
We're brothers, continue.
B'nei ish echad.
Stop. So once I hear that there are 12 people, b'nei ish echad, so I know that they're all brothers. They're all the sons of the same man. So the word achim is unnecessary. It could have said, ki, say again, ki shneim oser.
Shneim oser avadecha achim anachnu.
Shneim oser avadecha b'nei avinu. Take out the word achim. Yeah. Take out the word achim.
Anachnu b'nei, right, b'nei.
Would we have understood by saying that shneim oser avadecha b'nei avinu that we are all the same father?
Right.
So why does it need to say the word achim? Since the word achim is mufna, we can go and ask the more. Mid havalei lemichtuv shneim oser avadecha b'nei avinu. Shkoyach, brother Shai. We could have said b'shem osar avadecha and leave out the word achim b'nei avinu uksiv achim shemam nelafluya. Therefore, I rather darshan the achim by yibam ki yeshu achim yachdom from the achim of Yaakov Avinu. Itzrach lemichtuv achim, itzrach lemichtuv yachdom. So now that we've learned that it's mufna, I have now two separate drushes, both to go and tell you that it's got to be from achim mina av and not achim mina ein. The first drasha was the Yachtov, and the Gemara said Miyuchodim Benachla, which is Achim Min Av. And the second one is we learned from Bnei Yaakov Achim Achim. What do I need both drashas? Because Rachmana Achim alone have a Min Alelif Achva Achim Meloit. I should still learn it from Loit. I B'chitei Meloit Mufni. You're going to tell me by Loit the word Achim is not. After all, it just says Anoshim Achim Anachnu. So that's not a break, it's not superfluous. No, it is mufni. Why? Why does it say a lashon of brothers? After all, Avram and Loit were not brothers. They were very close. So he could have said, Kanoshim Reim Anachna. Why does he use the term Achim? We're trying to make a statement that they were like brothers. No, if they're like brothers, then maybe they're brothers for purposes of Yibum as well. It's got to be real brothers in terms of Yerusha purposes. After we'll be together, maybe means talk both paternal and maternal brothers. Full brothers, like most brothers are, not half brothers. So that's why you have to have both drushes. For why would I have thought that? I think the Gemara is asking, what do I need the yachta for, or what do I need the achim? I would know from yibam, because the yibam menachla tola rachmana, menachla mena av v'loy mena ein. In other words, by yibam it says what's the major purpose of the yibam. It says in the passage, v'yibachor asher teile yokim al shem ochiv hames. And Yetzir Shem we're going to see in another week. The Gemara is going to say in daf chav dalid, what does it mean yokim al shem ochiv hames? Al shem ochiv menachla sheyirish hamiyabim kol nichsei hames vein achim cholkim imay. In other words, a Yovam, when he is Miyabim, the wife, the former sister-in-law, he's doing a grace and mitzvah, Torah says, he should go and do that. Parshat Pshat, the reason why he's doing it, L'hokim L'ochem Shem B'Yisrael, so that it should be a legacy. His Nebuch, his brother, passed away, leaving no children. Ah, what a tragedy. Baruch Hashem, he'll have children. Maybe they'll even name the child after the name of Reuven, or the Yoh, or the Nisht. But at least people will be able to say, ah, that the Reuven's legacy continues through his wife, through his brother. It's a beautiful thing. But the Gemara is telling us there's also very practical monetary considerations, that the Yavam also yarshins whatever Yerusha, whatever property Reuven had or that Reuven would receive, for instance, in the Nachla of Yaakov Avinu. We're going to learn later on about the Bnei Slavcha, that they had a double portion because of that in their father, their grandfather. Anyway, Nishav Yes.
But in the case of Boaz and Rus, it's not a brother. It's a more distant relative. There's Koni Almoni.
Yeah.
Why? So if it's derivative of Nachla, why is Yibam only? And we see that Achim from Lot and Avraham is not a rigorous term.
Right.
Why isn't Yibam expanded to include non brothers, more distant relationships, since they inherit the property? They should also inherit the Zika.
I'm on your side. If it was up to me, if we had a Sanhedrin today, and if I was a member, I would say any distant relative up to an eighth cousin should go and in the Yavim anytime.
Or the Zika or whatever.
One was sort of a sociological thing to that the take care of this Almana. So Boaz came and you saw with this.
Right.
You know, with
Plony Almoni declined and Boaz was in the Yavim, right?
But then there's the halachic Yavim.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so getting back to Agmar. So the Gemara says, I don't really need the pasuk of Yachtov to tell us b'yichodim b'nachla that it's Achim and Av, not Achim and Aim. But Mehechitesi, why would I have thought it's Achim and Aim? Yi b'nachla tol rachman, b'nachla and Av, l'im and Aim. So therefore I don't need the Yachtov to tell you b'yichodim b'nachla. But the it's so good, I'd come in a hoil v'chidish hu t'kamishtori erva gabei. I would have thought, wow, until a moment ago, Shimon was not allowed to even look at Reuven's wife. Because it happens to be a sister-in-law. And Eishesach. And Erva Minatoyra. All of a sudden, Nebuch Reuven passed away. Boom! Now they can go marry each other. That's a big chiddush. Kamishtoy Erva Gabe. So, Eim Adam Yachti Ba'ab Be'ima. I would think that that trumps all other considerations, and you'd have to have a double.
A full brother,
and not just a half brother. So, you have to have all the other drushes. Omravuna Omra. Okay, Nushtiko now. Shemeres Yavam Shemesa Mutter Beima. Now we don't leave Eishes Ach Min Av now. I'm not Eishes Ach.
Ayachdov.
Eishes Ochav Shalihoya by Lomoy. Now we're talking about another case. We have a Yavam and a Yavam, right? Reuven passed away, leaving over Mrs. Reuven, and Shimon wants to go and marry her. And guess what? Before Shimon had an opportunity to go and marry his Shemeres Yavam. The word Shemeres Yavam means just a Yavama who's waiting until the Yavam takes action.
Right.
So she's Shemeres, she's waiting. Of the Shomar Esadovar. She's waiting to see what's going to happen. Unfortunately, by the time Shimon made up his mind that he was going to be Miyavam her, unfortunately she passed away. So you have Reuven that passed away, and now Mrs. Reuven passed away. However, Mrs. Reuven left over her mother. Question is, can Shimon go and marry the mother of his former Yevama? Now, if he had married the Yevama, that would be his Chamoisa. There's nothing to talk about. But it wasn't. It was just a Zika, right? A connection, a very an umbilical cord that kept him connected. Is that umbilical cord strong enough
to create Nerva,
to create a Chamoisa situation that he's now got to go and marry the mother? Now, if you asked me, I would say, that was nothing. Never for a period of time.
It was a Zika, but
and that was it, yeah. Right? But it's considered to be a chiddush that Rav says Now, why am I saying it's a chiddush? Because if you go down to five lines from the bottom of the Amud, you have over there Rav Yehuda Amar Shemeres Yavam Shemesa is Aser Beima. Then, in fact, it's a strong enough connection that it makes it like a chamoisa, like a mother-in-law situation. So it's a machlokes v'vuna Rav. And we'll see Rav Yehuda down below. Now, why does he say mutabima? Alma kosover ein zika. It's because he holds no zika. Now, the words ein zika is a little bit misleading. It doesn't mean there's no zika at all. The definition of zika means that there's a yavam and a yavam. That's a zika. He means that it's not, the zika is not a strong enough bond to be deemed like, almost like marriage. No, it's not marriage at all. Yeah, they should, could, would, but until they actually get married, in the form of a yibum, since the vow is goodish. Since it's goodish, so now, if never the Shemeres Yavam passed away, then Shimon can go and marry the ima, it's not a chamoisa situation. Now, frankly, my blame alochi to be oima ain zika, because this machloikis yesh zika ain zika, in fact, already appears elsewhere. The main location, Rashi says, in the daf mem aleph, where it's talking about a somewhat comparable situation, if you want to look at the Rashi, Flei Malachi Divi Oyma Ein Zika, about halfway down, Nam Perka Choylet, Shemeres Yavim Shekidesh Ochiv, Es Achoyse Shel Yivoma, you have a Shemeres Yavim, she's waiting to become Nisyadim, there are a bunch of brothers around, each one of them is a potential Yavim, one of them, perhaps absent-mindedly, went and was Mekadesh, the sister of his Yavama. Now, will he be able to go and be miyavim the Yavama?
No.
I mean, obviously not. It's not a chos ukosai, it's a chos ishtar. Shekidish ochav is a chos. He actually married the sister of the Yavama. Were he to go and be miyavim the Yavama, then he would be taking a chos ishtar. So therefore it's awesome. But tova yimim be ochav, and therefore, now we can only talk about the other brothers perhaps being miyavim, but certainly not this brother. Now, Mishum Rav Yehuda ben Beseder Amru, Oimrim Lezeh Shekidesh Achois Yevemtoi, we tell this fellow that was Mekadesh Achois Yevemtoi, Hamtei Melichnois, don't be koines the Achois Yevemtoi. In other words, we start off Shekidesh, he only did Kiddushin, only Erisin. He wants to go and do Bia and consummate the marriage. We tell him, don't consummate. Not yet. Why? Because you have a Zika towards you, the Yavama. Now, I know that you're not going to go marry the Yavama because you already married the Yavama's sister. However, if you're going to be koinus, you're going to be over on the Isid Rabbana of Achoy Ziku Kasai. Your wife is the sister of your Zika. So they tell me, you know what? Wait. What should you wait for? Until your brother will either do Yibum or Chalitza. The Zika will then fade away, and then you'll be able to go and marry your wife that is consummate the marriage. Then will be Pakazika. Now, says Rashi, since Shmuel had said we pass like Rabbi Yehuda, apparently there are others that disagree. The Ami Ein Zika Li Achin Chashiva Lesser Alein Kroy Veiseha. In other words, we don't hold of the Din Achoisa Kukasai, and therefore, if he was Mekadesh, my sister, because in tight, consummate the marriage. I, there's a Zika, but Zika is Gornish. I'm not married to her, it's a Zika. Whether yay Zika or ain Zika, not in the sense of whether there's a connection. Of course there's a connection. The question is whether there's
a serious connection.
Is a
halachically serious.
A substantial, substantive, heavyweight connection that would prohibit him from being consummating the marriage. And the Gemara says that's hotoli baha. that if you hold yesh zika, then itake has to wait and not consummate, like Rabbi Yehuda said. If you hold ein zika, then you can consummate immediately. And the same thing over here, that if you hold yesh zika, you would be prohibited in marrying the mother of the yavama, because it's like a shviger. And if you hold ein zika, then shviger is gonish. So, Vaitimura, why did Rav Huna Amar Rav have to build up a brand new case? Shmeres Yomish Mesim Utam Ima. He could just simply say, "I hold like that Mandi Yama Alma Kosover Ain Zika Bolim Alachin Rav Yama Ain Zika." Period. Yeah. Instead of having to build a new case, everywhere you have Omar Hachi, if you would say that Havi Min Hani Mila Betray, that's only by two brothers, and that was the case of Rabbi Yehuda, that there were multiple brothers. Then, therefore, the possibility that he would go and miyabim that particular lady is depending on how many brothers there are. If there are five brothers, it's only a 20% chance. If there are 10 brothers, it's a 10% chance, right? Because the Zika spreads among all of them. So it's saying, in such a case, the link of the Zika is so shvach, then ain't Zika. Whenever there's only one brother, like the case of our Gemara here, that Shemeres Yavam Shemesa, that Nebuch Reuven passed away, left over Shemeres Yavam, and now there was only one other brother, that Shimon wanted to miyabim the Eishes Reuven. He didn't get a chance. Shemesa Nebuch, she passed away. But then I would say the Zika is so strong because
he's married
exclusively in Shimon. There was no one else.
Exactly. So right. So maybe strength. It would be so strong that it would be awesome. Even Kamash Malan, that even a case of one. Make it crystal clear. Right. You don't have to come up with
the Shemeres Yavam, the mother Shemeres
Yavam. If you would say that, I would think even when they are alive, meaning that he has the Shemeres Yavam, this Mrs. Reuven to marry, but he doesn't want to marry Mrs. Reuven. He wants Mrs. Reuven's mother. She's a bigger tzedekis, she's a bigger Eishes Chayim. Well, maybe she's a prettier, or whatever the reason is. And therefore, wealthier, alamalis. And therefore, maybe, I would say, afil mechayim, ein zika, kamash malon, no. Acher misen, mechayim loy. Don't go and marry the shviger, not a real shviger, but the mother of the Yavama. Now, why not? If you tell me ein zika, what's the other? I'll tell you what, you shouldn't be also about the mitzvah Yavama, because you have a mitzvah yibam on you, mister. Don't go and do an action which would prevent you from being mekayim that mitzvah. What type of action? Going and marrying the mother. Once I go marry the mother, I obviously can't marry the daughter. Ishu vita lo yikachu. So you're going to be mevatel. That's why we're telling you, don't use the words ein zika filo b'chad. Rather, go and use the words that mutter b'ima. In other words, only the acher misa, then when he can go marry. Tanan, let's go to the Mishnah. Yevam Tisha Mesa, Mutter Ba'achoysa. Oh, if Yevama passed away, then he's allowed to go and marry the sister of that Yevama. Why does he give the case of Achoysa? Ba'achoysa in Be'ima Loi. Now, why am I distinguishing between Achoysa and Ima? Because everybody knows Achoysa is a different category.
It's
Rechaya.
You can marry the wife's sister after she passed away. You can surely marry the wife's sister after she was just a Sika.
Exactly. So Yevam Toisha Meisif Yevoma, which was just as Zika passed away, the Mutter B'chayis is allowed to go marry the sister because of B'chaya. But why didn't we give the case of Mutter B'ima? Oh, it's Mash B'chayis and B'min Oloi. You would not be able to marry the Ima because there is no B'chayeha
by the mother.
Exactly.
It's only by the sister.
And then if that's how you're going to learn that Mishnah, then it's Shver and Avun Amar Rav, because Avun Amar Rav says Shemayis Yom Shemayis and Mutter B'ima. And here it says only Mutter B'chayis and it's not B'ima. Every Muadid Afil B'ima is also by the Tana Reisha, the Reisha of that Mishnah, which we didn't quote until now, Ishtoi Shemesa Mutter B'chayis. So like you said, even the wife Mutter B'chayis. B'chayis in Abu B'im Aloi, the Havilah Isura D'Araisa, because with the exception of B'chayis, all the other Isurim remain forever.
Even after the death of the party, of the direct party.
Exactly. Therefore, since we had to go and give us that case of Ishtoi Shemesa, Tanami Seifa Mutter B'chayis. But the same thing would apply to Ima as well. Therefore, you have no Kasha on Rav Huna Amar Rav. Now, Rav Yehuda Amar, no. Shemeres Yavam Shemesa, awesome Ima. Al-Makasoba, yesh Zika. He holds that the Zika has so much substance to it, it's almost a shtikl wife. It's a shtikl wife, then the mother's a shtikl chamoisai, and therefore he's aser b'chamoisai, even after the Shemeres Yavam passes away. That was a Yehuda that we quoted in the Rashi. Let him say yesh Zika. So you have Omar Hachi, have a min animil b'chad. Only if there's one brother, I'll betray. If there are multiple brothers, I would say ain't zika.
It's diluted.
It's diluted among the multiple brothers. You cannot say that, because if you're going to go and paskin yezika, that's the case that Rashi was quoting with Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseda, and they were talking about that they were two brothers, and we said to him, you mekadesh achoy zukukascha hamtein melichnois, because it's yachoy zukuka, wait until achicha yasa masa. Oh, so we're talking about over there that there were multiple brothers.
But it's still strong enough to bind him, to delay him from marrying this other woman.
So we see that yesh zika,
even with multiple brothers.
Exactly. So don't tell me if I would say yesh zika.
It's because Shira doesn't have any force.
Don't tell me that if we would say halacha kedivri on the yesh zika, I would say that's so metchad. That's not true. Because the author of the yesh zika approach and halacha, that's Gor of Yehuda in a case of multiple brothers. I'll tell you why. If you would go and say halacha kedivri oimi yezika, hava min mechayim, I would say that that's when they're still alive.
Right, the woman's gone, the zika's gone.
Exactly. In the case of Ayim Shemeres Yom Shemesa, there was taka zika when she was alive, but after she passed away, paka zika, and therefore he should be mutter be'ima. Kamash olan the zika mechdi le paka, doesn't just go and fade away and puff. That zika still remains hovering somewhere. Of course, if you're miyabim or you're choylitz, the zika goes away. But if the person passes away, there's still a
unresolved zika.
And that unresolved zika causes the mother-in-law to be the mother-in-law.
Right.
And that's why
it's not the mother, she's the mother of his zikuka.
And therefore, that's why he's aser be'ima. Let's now bring a riot. Give them to Shemesa Mutter Bachoisa in the Himalay. It's a Mamish a riot to our case. Also, it would be Mutter Be'ima. Not like Rabbi Yehuda. By the Tone Rasha, Ishtre Shemesa Mutter Bachoisa, Davk Bachoisa would be Imalay. That's talking about a real Achois Ishtre situation where he's Mutter Bachoisa because it's Bechayel. That wouldn't apply to Ima. To have you see the Raisa, that Isser ever remains forever. So even though the Sefer, we could have spoken about the Shemeres Yavam, that Mutter Ba'achoy, Ba'ima, on our Sefer, for consistency and style. Since we're talking about Achoy, until now, we say Mutter Ba'achoy, but it could be Mutter Mima. So therefore you have no clear-cut Raya or Kasha from that Mishnah, either a Kasha on Ravuna Merav, and you don't have a clear-cut Raya to Rehuda, so we stay with a Machloikis between the two, whether Shemeres Yavam Shemesim, whether you're Mutter Ba'ima or Asadimia, to be continued in Yachem tomorrow. Have a wonderful day.